This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you for just the next few minutes from the subject of changing your life for the better. Changing your life for the better. How many in the room, and y'all talk back to me so we can get through this quick, how many in the room know the whole reason Jesus came is for you to live a better life? Isn't that right? The Bible teaches us in John 10 and 10, it is the thief that comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In the Amplified, it says, to the full till it overflows. So Jesus came so you could have an abundant life. Jesus came so you can live a better life. But how many know I've taught you that the will of God is not automatic? He needs your permission and he needs your participation to usher his will into your life. So there's some things that you have to do. Faith without works is dead being alone. You have to take the word of God and apply it in your life. And to the degree you apply it in your life gets better and better and better. Can I get a... So change, my definition for change is real simple. It's a product of human effort sustained by divine help. A product of human effort sustained by divine help. As I make a move toward God, God, he makes a move toward me. How many in the room know what you tolerate will not change? So you can tolerate things, and if you tolerate lack, it won't change. If you tolerate sickness, it will not change. But anytime you decide to take the promises of God and the word of God and lay hold to it and apply it in your life, things begin to change. Change can be difficult, but it's necessary. Change can be difficult, but it's necessary. In these next few minutes, I want to talk to you today from the subject of transformation. Transformation. And I want to give you an understanding of how this Christian life works, that we're not coming to church just to go through the motions. You got it? I want you to feel good when you come to church, but you're not coming to church just to feel good. You got it? You are coming to church, you got it, to learn God's plan for your life, to learn the word of God. You're coming for your spiritual development, and as you begin to learn this word and apply it and walk with Jesus, it begins to transform your life. Ephesians, the second chapter and the 10th verse in the Amplified Classic. I'm right in the middle of my lesson. I totally forgot to do it. So just go ahead and wave to everybody down your row. Check on everybody and make sure they're good. If you haven't seen them today, just say hello. Look at the person next to you and make sure that they are awake, because some people sleep with their eyes wide open. All right, he says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. So God knew exactly what he was doing when he made us, right? Recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works, which, watch this, God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared, the Bible says, ahead of time. Remember, God knows what he's doing. He already declared your end from your beginning, right? It says that we should walk in them. I need your help with this class. So look at the screen. Living the good life, that's in the Bible, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So the Bible says that we are to live this good life that he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So when you come to God, he doesn't improve you, he changes you. Does that make sense? Coming to Jesus has little to do with religion, but a lot to do with relationship. You got it? Religion is about how you can conform. Watch this. But God's desire is that you transform. Does that make sense? All right. So I want to give you three truths and three applications that I believe will help you on this road to transformation in Christ. All right. Everybody say number one. Number one, the gospel means change. The gospel means change. The gospel is not about religion. Religion says you have to pray this way, you have to dress this way, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Religion focuses on the external, but Jesus focuses on the internal. Because if Jesus can change you on the inside, how many know you start changing on the outside, right? I'm not knocking this. You got it. The way I grew up, I love my foundation. I'm thankful the way I grew up. You know, I grew up in Pentecostal church. You know, grew up in Kojic. Lady grew up in Holiness Church. So, you know, we love that. But there are things that we notice along the way, like when somebody would get saved, you got it, and come in, boy, it would be so exciting. And then they go out and they get him a new suit, you understand, and bring him in the next Sunday. He looks so good. And that's good. But what happens realizes if he still had any old ways. You got it? He walked out with the suit round the back of the building, and he started smoking. Oh, he don't want nothing. You know, he ain't saved. He going to hell. No, no, no. Because you have to understand that when I come to Christ, watch this, there's a transformation that has to take place on the inside. And once the transformation takes place on the inside, you'll start seeing it on the outside. This young man is teaching up in here. I don't know if you know it or not. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature or new creation. The old things are passed away. You got it. Behold, all things become new. All right. And so you've got to understand that when I give my life to Jesus, there must be a transformation that starts taking place and it continues to take place in my life. All right. John, the 3rd chapter and the 1st verse, Nicodemus is coming to see Jesus. He's doing it at nighttime because he doesn't want his friends to see it, but he knows he's supposed to change. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, so he came at night, he came to speak with Jesus. He says, Rabbi, he says, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. So Nicodemus knew that God was with him. He says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God, watch this now, without being born of water, that's human, you got it, you know, through your mother, and of the spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life. So that's natural birth. You got it? But the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life, and that's the spiritual life. And so that's why the writer teaches us you must be born again. All right? So this is the gospel, that we are changed or transformed when we come to Christ. Watch this. But watch this. But when we come to Christ and we're changed and transformed, how many know that other people should see our transformation? Come on, somebody. You know, that you know, and you know, I'm just going to kind of look at my iPad. You have to ask yourself the tough questions. Everybody say tough questions. What do they see in you? What do they see in you at the ball game? What do they see in you at the grocery store? What do they see at you at the red light when the guy in front of you, you know, it turned green and he's not moving yet? You got it, you know. They're probably up there on their phone. This generation, if they just get off the phone, we can get somewhere. You understand? Like, honk, you know. What do they see? Praise the Lord. You got it. What do they see on social media? Everybody say, Yeah, what do they see? We must represent Jesus well in the earth. We are ambassadors for Christ. You got it? You got it? We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. You got it? And so you have to understand that this transformation, watch this, it doesn't just stop. I am 46 years old. Praise the Lord. Had a birthday last week. Yes, I did. You got it? And watch this. And I was, you know, really grew up in church, gave my life to Jesus at a real young age. I was filled with the Holy Ghost probably when I was 12, 13 years old. So I've lived this Christian life most of my life. But one thing I've learned is I never stopped transforming into the image of Christ. I never stopped changing, you got it, into everything that God wants me to be. It is something that I'm always doing in my life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and temperance, you know, and he says, and meekness, you know, against such there is no law. What does he mean by against there is no law? No one can bring a charge against you if you're walking in these things. And how many in the room know, even if you've been saved for 40 years, that there's some things that we're always consistently still working on? Isn't that right? Yeah. And so the gospel, it literally means change. It is the good news that Jesus came to remove our burdens and destroy our yokes by the power of God. And to the degree that we invite him on the inside and repent of our sins, we start changing. And I don't think we stop until we get to heaven. Does that make sense? Yeah. So number one, the gospel means change. Everybody say number two. Number two, here's a good one. God loves us as we are, but loves us too much to leave us that way. God loves us as we are, but loves us too much to leave us that way. The Apostle Paul, begins to speak in the book of Galatians. And next week we might talk about this. I'm not sure. I'm praying about which way to go. No, probably won't do that. Well, anyways, I'll talk about that later. And he talks about a different gospel that isn't a gospel at all. And so he comes to the church of Galatians, and really that's what I would call the freedom book. You got it? He teaches them freedom in Christ, and they begin to learn that. And then Paul leaves and moves on, and some other people come with a different teaching, and it starts messing them up. And he says, wait a minute, hold on now. You got it. Who are you listening to, right? And then he says, there's this different gospel that is not a gospel at all. And there are these distorted messages of the gospel. And there's a lot of them, y'all. There's a distorted message of grace that, you know, God loves you. Everything's okay. You can do what you want to do. You know, it's okay. God doesn't matter. The Bible doesn't say that. I got three all rights. You got it? No, the Bible says I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Come on, somebody. Right? But then there's another message, you got it, that goes too far, that says you're doing everything wrong and God's mad at you and he's waiting to get you and you're going to hell. And that's not true either. You got it? And neither of those are true. Let me tell you why. Because they are unbalanced. The Bible in the first chapter and the 14th verse teaches us exactly how it's supposed to be. That the Word became flesh. The Word was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then it drops down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, or made his dwelling place among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, help me class, full of grace and truth. So there's the balance. You got it? That when I come to Christ, watch this, he gives me grace and he gives me truth. And I need both. If you just give me grace, I'm going to be unbalanced. You got it? Or if you throw away grace and you just try to give me truth, because he is full of grace and truth. You got it? Grace attracts, but truth unravels. Grace invites us to be free, but truth sets us free. Does that make sense? The writer says, with loving kindness have I drawn you. That's why if you see someone who doesn't know the Lord, you're not supposed to be beating them up and saying, man, you need to pull your pants up and you need to quit smoking that rib because you're on your way to hell in a handbasket and God, he ain't pleased with you. Hold on now. Did you ever think that if that person saw, watch this, the way you treated them, come on somebody, because we think that to love people means that we need to accept everything they do, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. But the Bible says, with loving kindness have I drawn you. You got it? And to show somebody the love of Jesus. Come on, somebody. To be nice to somebody. To talk to somebody. To witness to somebody. To pay for somebody. Like, I ain't paying for that old heathen's lunch. You're missing it. Because Jesus ate with the publicans and the sinners. You got it? Jesus ate with, come on, somebody. And you so because church is not a club. Because we all trying to go to heaven, not just a few hundred in here. We trying to get everybody saved. I don't know about you, but I ain't going to lunch today because I'm coming back in a little while. But if I was going to lunch, watch this now. I'm going to impact what's it called when they come to the table, baby? My waitress, yeah. My waitress or my waiter. The memory of the righteous is blessed in Jesus' name. All right. So I'm going to treat them good. I'm going to tip them good. You got it? When I leave, they're going to be like, man, it's something about that couple. They were so nice. And the waitress is going to be like, I messed up. They didn't even have no problem. And I messed up and they gave me a 60% tip. You got it? If they ever see us again, that's going to open a door for the Holy Spirit to talk to them and say, hey, you know, have you ever heard of our church? Or do you know who Jesus is? Do you go to church anywhere? I'm telling you, we are not here for ourselves, and we're not here that once we get saved, our four no more, so we just going to come to church and praise the Lord and wait for Jesus to come, you know, so we can go back to heaven. That's only partly good, but the question is, who are you going to take with you when you go? I got to hurry. I'm all off my lessons, but it's okay. All right, so we said, y'all get anything out of this? Number one, the gospel means change. Number two, God loves us as we are, but loves us too much to leave us that way. And then number three, if I'm not changing, I might not really know God. And I know that's tough, you got it, but it's true. 1 John 1:6 says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness in the ways of the world, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. That's grace. You see the truth and you see the grace. Man, that's what I love. If you read scripture and slow down, you will always see grace and truth in the Bible. You got it? Well, just in the New Testament. You see it in the Old Testament too. Okay, all right, but I don't have time to show that to you. If I had, boy, if you had time, I'm not ready to close yet though, all right? If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Truth. What? Here's some grace. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Do you see the grace and do you see the truth? And that is how we have to live our lives, all right? If we claim we have not sinned, you got it, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us, because the truth is, no matter how good of a Christian you are, sometimes you miss the mark. Sometimes you fall short. Sometimes you say you shouldn't say something you shouldn't say and act the way that you shouldn't act. And before you go to bed, you should ask God to forgive you for it. And if you've done somebody wrong, when you wake up the next day, you need to call them and get it right and say, hey, I'm sorry I've done this, or I'm sorry I've done that. Can I get a better amen than that? Amen. 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 That's a good place to clap. All right. We got to get out of here. Y'all getting anything by this? All right. So you have to understand that the goal is for me to be changed and transformed on the inside. Pastor is not expecting you to be perfect, because God's not expecting you to be perfect. Matter of fact, when I was praying years ago, because y'all have heard me say this before, and I was praying, just praying for you and, you know, certain situations I knew members were going through. And he said, son, I'm not looking for perfection. I'm just looking for progress. That I do better today than I did yesterday. That I do better the next day. That, you understand what I'm saying? That God's not looking for perfection, but he is looking for progress. You got it? How many know every year should be a better year for us? You got it, but we don't. But how do you start with it being better years? Today should be better than yesterday. Watch this. This week should be better than last week. This month should be better than last month. Does that make sense? And little by little, you watch this. God is changing me on the inside. You got it. I used to fuss at folk. No, I used to cuss folk out. Not me, praise the Lord. But now I'm only fussing folk out. But you got to keep going to the point where you're not fussing nobody out and you're showing the love of Jesus in an unforgettable way. Y'all do know Christians ain't supposed to cuss, right? Okay, I just, you know, or smoke the herb. Or be out at the club. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, real quick. This is a good place to go home, Maestro. I think I can wrap this up. I'm gonna give you three ways to let God transform you. How many ways?
Three.
There may be more, but in the context of this lesson, I'm going to give you three ways. Number one, get past who you were and focus on who God wants you to become. What's in your past is in your past. And don't you let the devil hold you hostage over your past and mistakes that you made and things that have happened. It is what it is. What happened, happened. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his truth that can help you move on from that. You are not what you went through. Number two, give God permission to change everything. Give God permission to change. To change. Because if we're not careful, all of us in the room, including me, Lord, you can do with this area of my life, and you can do with this area of my life, and you can do with this area, but don't touch that area over there. But I got to say, Lord, I'm yours. Everything I got, everything I am, everything I'm not, I want you to make me and mold me and shape me into the person that you would have me to be. Not my will, but yours be done in my life. So give God permission to change everything. Do you know in the book of Galatians, man, I'm probably going to talk about it next week, but Paul was writing to the church. And in chapter 5, verse 19, he said, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Like, y'all doing some things. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, self-indulgent, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And he says, he warns the church as he did before, to those who live like this, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It's truth. Watch this, how this grace comes in. But the fruit of the Spirit. But if you just allow the Holy Spirit to be in operation in your life, if you would just stop and say, Lord, I've been messing my own life up, so I'm going to stop doing it my way, and I'm going to start doing it your way. I had to do that years ago. And he said, if you do that, he said, you're going to open yourself up to things like love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So the moment I give my life to Jesus and I open myself up to him, watch this, self-control's in there. The thing that I didn't have control over, I now have control over because I allowed the power of the Holy Ghost, watch this, to give me control over it. Does that make sense? Because the Holy Ghost says you can't be bound. Sin can't dominate you. The only time it dominates them is when I'm not giving my life totally to Christ. Because we think that we have to be the ones to break the addiction. We think we have to be the one to break the stronghold. And he said, you're getting it wrong. Give your life to me, and my anointing removes every burden and destroys every yoke and gives you the freedom you need to be who I've called you to be. And you are not what you were, but you are the apple of my eye. You are the object of my affection. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And your best days are not behind you, but my God, your best days are in front of you. Number three, and I gotta go, here we go. Allow the change to begin today. Allow it to begin today. I want to dismiss all of you all that are getting baptized, and so you all can be dismissed at this time. You got it. I normally don't do stuff like this except on baptism. Give them a big hand. Man, look at all of them. Look at all of them going to get baptized. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, now y'all look back at me. Y'all look back at me. I get it. All right. You know, of course, their families with them cleared out a third of the church. Praise the Lord. Allow the change to begin today. Don't wait tomorrow or don't wait till the next day or don't say, I'm going to get myself together, but allow the change to take place in your life today. Watch this. And here's the key word. Just surrender. Like, God, I'm just going to surrender my life to you. I'm going to surrender my will for your will. I'm going to surrender my way for your way. I'm tired of trying to figure it out on my own. I'm tired of being in the driver's seat. I'm going to get out of the driver's seat, and I want you to take control of the wheel. And I'm going to get over in the pasture, and I'm going to follow your will. I'm going to follow your way. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. He says, for my yoke is and my burden is light. This is an invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ to do it his way, to live a life of no stress, no strain, no struggle. I'm not saying being a Christian means you never go through anything, because of course we go through things as Christians. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it doesn't stop there. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. You see the grace and the truth? You can find grace and truth in everywhere in the Bible. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We've already made our appeals earlier for salvation. So I just want to pray, and I want to declare over your life that today is the day that things change for you. Today is the day that things change for you. Father, I just set my faith with every person in this room and online. And I declare in the name of Jesus, is today, that today is the day that things change. Today, Lord, is the day that we surrender totally to you. Today is the day that we let go of all sideshow distractions. Today, Father, is the day that we say, not my will, but your will. You get in the driver's seat, and you make us, and you mold us, and you shape us into the image of your dear son, Lord. Father, today is the day that I get my peace back. Today is the day that I get my joy back. Today is the day that I get my strength back. Today is the day that I get my energy back. Today is the day that I walk out of here with an anointing that I've never had on my life before. Today's the day. Today's the day that's going to be brand new for me. I'm going to mark today's date down, because today is the day that everything changes in my life. That I'm not who I used to be. So I'm not going to let the devil or anybody else or somebody who knew me in my past and mistakes I made, I'm not letting anybody hold me back. My family knew I did some stuff I shouldn't have. It don't matter. Today is the day. that everything changes. I thank you for it. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building?